This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Way on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
Hi-dee ho and welcome. It's World Wide Wave time at Joy's International News and Current Affairs Show, taking you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight you've got Paul.
Hello.
Dean's with us.
G'day.
Hello, Lana.
Hello.
Behind the scenes, Madeline, a guest from Taste of Radio, is with us, and Damien on the panel. My name's Matt. It's World Wide Wave time.
You can hear the cheers from the other side of the world. If you couldn't hear them, you would have noticed social media awash with rainbows. The United States now has marriage equality. We ask the questions, what is the story? How did the winners react, and what are the losers doing after the Supreme Court ruling? What does it mean for us here in Australia? And who are the Americans now focusing their activist clout on Australia?
And to help us dissect what the US Supreme Court decision means for same-sex marriage in Australia, tonight we speak with Rodney Croom, National Director and tireless champion of Australian marriage equality.
Joy.
Oh, I disagree with Tony Abbott on that. I think the US Supreme Court decision will have a major impact. I've already spoken to supporters of marriage equality in the coalition who think that some of their colleagues who are on the fence will be compelled by this decision to engage with the issue more. And of course, there's also the element of shame here. We now have couples marrying in places like Kentucky and Mississippi and Alabama, places with pretty unenviable human rights records, and yet they can't marry in Australia. That is something that many Australians will feel a little bit humiliated by.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Well, seeing as we're all about America this week, we're going to move on to the rest of the world where it hasn't been quite so positive.
Is there the rest of the world this week? I don't know.
There was actually a
kind
ton.
Kind of disappeared.
No, honestly, if you go to our Facebook page, W3 Joy, there was a ton of stories even before the decision that came through in Australia late on Friday night. A lot of stuff's been going on.
Are you taking us to first?
Well, for some bad news, let's go to Kyrgyzstan. So Kyrgyzstan, as we know, is near Russia, and they've advanced a bill that will criminalise so-called gay propaganda and apply even harsher penalties than Russia's notorious
even
law.
Even harsher? What's harsher than the Russian ones?
Oh, it gets better.
The African ones?
Well, no, look, I mean, Russia's anti-gay propaganda law calls for fines in most cases. In Kyrgyzstan, they've decided to ban propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations, including statements that would create a positive attitude to unconventional sexual orientation, and it calls for jail terms of up to a year for violators.
So even for just sort of saying, you know, being gay is okay, you're up to you could go to jail for up to
a year. If you're on a television program and you say that, and it's a television program that could be viewed by minors, according to the new law, that would pretty much be happening.
Children, protect the children.
That's it. Right. So basically, the former Soviet Republic's national legislative body has approved the bill by a vote of 90-2 in the second of three readings.
Good on those two people, I say.
And those two have suddenly disappeared and are probably now in prison.
Probably. So the third reading is necessary before the bill goes to the president, Almazbek Atayambayev, for his signature. And it will probably take place before October. Now, the issue with it is, of course, the European Parliament, international human rights groups, and the US have condemned the vote. But
anybody with a conscience, really.
Well, the LGBT people in Kyrgyzstan already face many challenges. During the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, they had a rally and they were attacked by self-styled patriots. And the police not only failed to stop the attack, but took the LGBTI activists into custody and subjected them to mistreatment.
And over to Saudi Arabia, they've faced criticism for acts of torture against LGBTI people. Last week, the country was heavily criticised during a meeting of the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva. It was pointed out that punishing homosexuality with life imprisonment, torture, chemical castration, whipping and death penalty does not fit in with internationally recognised human rights.
Duh.
Surprise, surprise. Protecting people on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity.
But the Saudi Arabian officials were outraged.
Yes,
these calls to accept LGBTI rights were unacceptable and a flagrant interference in its internal affairs.
One guy said some were attempting to portray the country in a bad light.
Even better, Saudi Arabia, this is what they said on Twitter, Saudi Arabia opposes any resolution for gay rights. Saudi Arabia reaffirms its support for human rights and respect towards all international conventions as long as it is in accordance with Islamic law.
The LGBTI community is forced to go underground in Saudi Arabia, but the religious police are cracking down.
Across to the UK now, where sex is about to get even safer thanks to a group of middle school students. Yes, two students aged 14 and 13 at the Newton Academy in Essex have invented a concept for a condom that detects potential STIs. And what it does is it changes colour when it comes in contact with them. The condom is called the STIEYE, as in look.
And as in looking with an eye.
It's still in the concept stages. So if you're using it and it changes colour, get worried.
So I like the different colours, though. It's green for chlamydia, yellow for herpes, purple for
HPV,
and blue for syphilis.
So when it comes out as a rainbow, you need to worry.
I have to wonder that, isn't it a bit sex-shamey?
Is what,
like, it's, condoms are there to protect people for safer sex and protect against STDs anyway, or STIs. So by making it all colourful, isn't it like just sex-shaming? Because it's not going to change anything.
People, well, hopefully the reason to point is saying, look what you've got.
Hopefully it would send them to the doctor, I guess, is the idea behind it. But when you're 13 and 14, that sounds, you know, probably quite and a they, good idea.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you wouldn't necessarily be using it with the lights blasting at you, like in a butcher's or something.
You need one that glows in the dark, because that's where a lot of them get used. Oh. Over in Turkey, the Turkish police in Istanbul have deployed tear gas and water cannon on LGBT pride marches.
This has been big, big, big news, and yes, we have footage on our Facebook page. This has been huge.
The authorities banned the parade on the 11th hour, actually on the day it was supposed to happen. And despite the fact that the event had taken place peacefully in Istanbul since 2003, the government office, this is a quote from the pride organisers, was not informed and no permission was given for the parade.
The governor's office said that they did it because it was done in the month of Ramadan and that wouldn't be right.
Lies.
It happened that month the previous year and there's been no problem.
The crackdown has sparked an international outcry. The Council of Europe Commissioner for Human Rights condemned the violence exerted by the police and called on the Turkish authorities to take measures to punish those responsible.
First Pride started in 2003, had only 30 participants, but they were expecting, or they got 50,000 in 2013.
In brief, in Italy, the mayor of Venice has banned a children's book about gay penguins called A Tango Makes Three from all city school libraries.
In Germany, the Historical Museum in Berlin launched an exhibition tracing 150 years of gay history in the country, including the first use of the word homosexual.
In the Philippines, Filipino LGBTI have held their Pride March to celebrate the change in the US and to push for change in the country.
And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hello, Australia. This is Gabrielle from Luxembourg. From the other side of the world, we share in your fight for same-sex marriage. Good luck to everyone at Joy 94.9.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
We're going back to that legal case that came out of the US and some interesting facts about where it all began.
Yes, where did it all begin?
Well, I'll take you back to 19th of July, 2013.
Once upon a time in a land far, far away.
I'm sure the activism started way, way, way before that, but let's talk about the most recent version of trying to achieve marriage equality.
That's when a same-sex couple took Hio to court because they wouldn't recognise or wouldn't allow one of the partners to become listed on a death certificate for the other partner who was terminally ill.
So basically they were together?
They were together.
And
they were
so still this alive. Wasn't actually about marriage, it was about the death certificate?
No, it was about death certificate.
Mm.
They put this to the court, went to the district court who made a decision. It's then gone through, and you better explain to us, Dean, their legal system here, because they've got layers of courts, much as we do, but it seems to be a lot more complex than ours.
Well, the big issue in the States is that they don't have any federal anti-discrimination legislation for gay people. That's basically...
So it's all state-based.
It's all state-based. Now, as you can imagine, some states have legislation to protect gay people. Some do not. So, and there's a bit of a divide between, say, the southern states and the Midwestern states, and the, you know, what's sometimes referred to as the flyover states, and the ones on the either coast, so on the east or the west coast.
And this ruling hasn't actually changed a lot of that.
That's correct. What it has changed is it's basically argued that it's overturned states' opposition to same-sex marriage, and it's preventing states from now saying that they don't recognise same-sex marriage. So okay, they are compelled to actually, you know, marry same-sex couples.
The law applies to all states, but prior to this, more than half the states had already voted in their own laws accepting same-sex marriage.
Yeah, I think it was 36 states. The thing about this—the thing about the United States of America is that ultimately the Supreme Court has final say. And one of the challenges is that obviously the United States is about states' rights. It's 50 individual states who feel that they, you know, would like to be able to enact their own laws and have their own control. But ultimately, it is, a federation. And the Supreme Court does have final say. And that's where some of the opposition to this new law has, or this new decision, or this new ruling has come from.
The ruling, or the questions that the court finally decided on was, does the 14th Amendment require a state to license a marriage between two people of the same sex? And does the 14th Amendment require a state to recognise a marriage between two people of the same sex where their marriage was lawfully licensed and performed outside the state?
Yeah.
Because that was the issue in Ohio, where the marriage was outside the state, but the state wouldn't recognise it.
And of course, it's important to note that the state did recognise marriage between cousins. And what was the other one beside?
Really?
Between cousins or minors, which were unlawful in Ohio based on their age of consent and the fact that they didn't allow marriages between cousins. But if it was performed in another state, Ohio would recognise it. So that was a crucial point here. So ultimately, the reality is that if they'll accept those sorts of marriages, even though they're from other states, why are they rejecting same-sex marriage if it's legal in other states also?
Now, the decision by the court was actually quite close, 5-4. So there were lots of positive things coming out in advance of the ruling, but the actual decision was a majority one, 5-4, saying that all states are required to grant same-sex marriages and recognise that same-sex marriages are granted in other states. It overturned all previous rulings, including one in the Sixth Circuit. What are some of the words that were used by the judges that spoke for the case and against the case?
Well, one of the famous ones that's being used is that no union is more profound than marriage, for it embodies the highest ideas of love, fidelity, devotion, sacrifice, and family. It is forming a marital union, two people becoming something greater than once they were.
One of the dissenting judges said, this court is not a legislature. Whether same-sex marriage is a good idea should be of no concern to us. Didn't believe that this should actually be coming before the courts.
There are a few judges that are quite conservative. Let's see, Justice Scalia is probably the most conservative, and he felt that it was basically a threat to American democracy.
President Obama, who has been a very strong advocate of LGBT rights in his term, had this to say.
Our nation was founded on a bedrock principle that we are all created equal. The project of each generation is to bridge the meaning of those founding words with the realities of changing times. A never-ending quest to ensure those words ring true for every single American. Progress on this journey often comes in small increments, sometimes two steps forward, one step back, propelled by the persistent effort of dedicated citizens. And then sometimes there are days like this, when that slow, steady effort is rewarded with justice that arrives like a thunderbolt. This morning, the Supreme Court recognized that the Constitution guarantees marriage equality. In doing so, they've reaffirmed that all Americans are entitled to the equal protection of the law, that all people should be treated equally, regardless of who they are or who they love. This decision will end the patchwork system we currently have. It will end the uncertainty hundreds of thousands of same-sex couples face from not knowing whether their marriage, legitimate in the eyes of one state, will remain if they decide to move or even visit another. This ruling will strengthen all of our communities by offering to all loving same-sex couples the dignity of marriage across this great land. This ruling is a victory for Jim Ogerufel and the other plaintiffs in the case. It's a victory for gay and lesbian couples who have fought so long for their basic civil rights. It's a victory for their children, whose families will now be recognized as equal to any other. It's a victory for the allies and friends and supporters who spent years, even decades, working and praying for change to come. And this ruling is a victory for America. What a reminder of what Bobby Kennedy once said about how small actions can be like pebbles being thrown into a still lake. Ripples of hope cascade outwards and change the world. Those countless, often anonymous heroes, they deserve our thanks. They should be very proud. America should be very proud. Thank you.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Samuel from Kenya on Wild Wide Wave.
It's the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. We've had a message in from Alastair. Alastair says, hi there, listening to the show, but a question. Is it right to say that there are any losers out of marriage equality in the US? The LGBT community is a winner, but who else does it affect? In my humble opinion, there are no losers.
Not everyone agrees
not
with that,
happy,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
So... yes, there are quite a few people that are not very happy about this. And one of the people who's not very happy about this at all is our old friend Vitaly Milonov.
From Russia.
Now, Vitaly Milonov, who you might remember, is the co-creator of Russia's controversial gay propaganda law.
He's not happy about what's happening in the US.
No, and he's not happy about what's happening on Facebook. 26 million people have used the tool which allows users to add a transparent filter in the colours of the LGBT rainbow flag over their profile photos.
I was one of them.
As was I.
And I wasn't.
And I wasn't either.
Well, you can be individuals, whatever. So anyway, so they introduced the function after last Friday to show their support. And Milonov is not pleased. He is cross, very cross. And he has told the Russian news service that he has requested the country's media watchdog block Facebook, as the display of rainbow flags and user profiles is in flagrant violation of the country's law, given that the social media site is accessible by minors.
And what's inspired by Nauru, perhaps.
Apparently, in Russia, rainbows will make children go gay. So there you go. Now, if the watchdog does not act, he will personally call on the security service and he will call President Vladimir Putin, who I'm sure has better things to worry about.
Well, someone please think about the children.
You know, just very quickly, I was in Nimbin the other week where there's lots of rainbows everywhere and someone was really homophobic to me in a shop. So rainbows just don't necessarily mean anything.
What did they say? I want to hear the goss.
I'll tell you off air.
Oh, you probably can't tell us before 9 o'clock at night if it's that sort of language.
Back to the USA. presidential candidates on the other side, the Republicans, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee has said the Supreme Court has spoken in a divided voice. I will not acquiesce to an imperial court any more than our founders acquiesced to imperial British monarchs.
You must resist and reject judicial tyranny, not retreat.
He's carried away.
No, I like the bit about that marriage was something that a supreme being actually designed.
Yes, that's from Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, who actually has a degree in biology, so he's just a big fake. And then you've got former Florida Governor Jeb Bush.
Yeah, I believe the Supreme Court should have allowed the states to make the decision, he says. In looking at this issue, we want to know what's the impact for Australia, if anything. So we rang Australian Marriage Equality, spoke to Rodney Croom earlier tonight. He is the National Director, and we asked him about the implications for here in Australia.
Joy.
Prime Minister Tony Abbott said over the weekend that the US Supreme Court was their decision and would not impact Australia's decision. How do you see the US decision might have an impact on Australia?
Oh, I disagree with Tony Abbott on that. I think the US Supreme Court decision will have a major impact. I've already spoken to supporters of marriage equality in the coalition who think that some of their colleagues who are on the fence will be compelled by this decision to engage with the issue more. And that's because the US Supreme Court is traditionally regarded as a fairly conservative institution and one that many on the centre-right respect. And, of course, there's also the element of shame here. We now have couples marrying in places like Kentucky and Mississippi and Alabama, places with pretty unenviable human rights records, and yet they can't marry in Australia. That is something that many Australians will feel a little bit humiliated by.
I saw also that the US group Human Rights Campaign, having now won their victory, have turned their sights on Australia and they're going to team up with Australian Marriage Equality. How are they going to get involved in our campaign here?
Well, they'll be reaching out to Australian expats in the United States who live in states with marriage equality, which of course now is all of them, and asking them to contact lawmakers in Australia, just pointing out that the sky hasn't fallen in over in America. They'll also be reaching out to more conservative figures in US politics who support marriage equality, and asking them to contact their equivalents in Australia to point out that marriage equality is actually a good thing, good for marriage, good for families, good for children, and good for the nation.
Off the back of the Irish referendum and now the US Supreme Court decision, there's certainly a momentum around. Do you fear that perhaps there might be complacency come in Australia in that there's lots of people saying that, you know, it'll be in by Christmas?
Oh, I would never say that myself. I think it's overly confident to say that we will have marriage equality by Christmas. The best I would say is that it's possible. I'm hopeful that there'll be a vote in Parliament before the end of the year, but it's impossible to predict which way that will go. My best prediction, and it's very tentative, is that the vote will be quite close, and it might just come down to one or two votes. But certainly it's not a foregone conclusion, and I think that kind of complacency is dangerous.
There have been a number of politicians speaking out, saying they will vote yes if it comes to a conscience vote. Particularly I'm thinking of National Party members. Where do you think we stand on the numbers? If it comes down to one or two, is it more of a concern in the House of Reps or in the Senate?
Well, certainly the trend is towards supporting marriage equality. No MPs are going backwards the other way. None are changing from supporters to opponents. We're seeing a gradual increase in the support, a gradual and inevitable increase. We may well have a slim majority in the Senate already, with cross-bench senators like Ricky Muir and Glenn Lazarus coming out in support. In the House of Representatives, I don't think we're there yet. Obviously, the numbers are climbing all the time, but we're still a way off. I know that there are some Liberals in particular who are privately in support but haven't yet declared, and that there are others who are possibles, but we really won't know until the vote gets closer, possibly even on the day of the vote itself.
So what needs to be done now, and I guess how can our listeners get involved?
Well, at the moment there's one priority and one priority only, and that is contacting your local MP and urging them to support reform. If they already do, then contact your friends, family members and colleagues who live in other electorates where the MP doesn't yet support, and urge them, in turn, to contact their MP. That's what it's all about at the moment, making contact with MPs so that they know there are people in their local areas who support this reform. Over the next few weeks, Australian Marriage Equality will be travelling to electorates right across Australia, encouraging people to do just this, And your listeners can help us by doing it themselves, by actually calling five friends and family members in other parts of Australia and saying, if your MP doesn't support this yet, give them a ring.
Yeah, the power of friends and relatives is actually quite crucial here, really, isn't it? Because they may well not be gay, but have that impact to be able to say, look, it's not going to affect me, but it will make a difference to other people.
Yes, a lot of MPs just assume that if you're gay, then you support this, and so they sort of turn off to their gay constituents. They think, well, you know, there's only a minority of them, they support it, that's a given. What they don't necessarily expect is for friends and family members and colleagues, work colleagues, to be passionate supporters as well. And that often is what tips them over the edge into support. So the more friends and family members and colleagues can ring or visit MPs, the better. That's not to say that LGBTI people shouldn't do the same. I think it's very important that MPs learn or hear the personal stories we have to tell about why marriage equality is so important to us. But friends and family and colleagues, allies, are indispensable.
And to find out where your local MP stands and how to contact them, where do they go?
Australian Marriage Equality has a website called Where Your MP Stands. And if you go there, type in your postcode, it will tell you your electorate and what your MP believes at the moment. It'll also tell you where your senators from your state, what their position is. And it's equally important that you contact them. In every state, there are senators who don't yet support marriage equality. So there's something for everyone to do, even if you live in an electorate where the local MP supports.
Fantastic. Rodney Cream, you're doing a great job. And we look forward to chatting to you again when it all comes true.
Oh, I look forward to chatting to you when it all comes through too.
Joy 94.9.
So that was Rodney Cream from Australian Marriage Equality. The importance of friends and family there, really interesting. Paul, you were just commenting on family members and the Facebook raid
yes,
on the weekend.
Yes, that my family in Australia, they were members that used the rainbow filter. They're not gay or lesbian, but none of my family in the UK, they're on Facebook, they didn't use it.
So I'm just wondering, a conservatism thing, or they're just far removed from America?
Oh, because they've already got marriage equality.
Got marriage equality, but I don't think my family over there are actually that progressive. So maybe they just didn't think about it.
It's interesting you say the word progressive, because I think one of the real fears that I have is that with this idea of marriage equality being kind of so important to the queer community means that some of our more radical queers will become more invisibilised and marginalised, because I worry that marriage equality creates a space where we become assimilated rather than included and valued and celebrated for what we actually are.
We all become one group, one amalgam,
one giant blob.
I don't think marriage necessarily does that. I don't think it removes individuality in it from anybody.
Doesn't it just open an option?
Yeah,
to
it's
people?
An option. It's not.
Look,
you don't have to tick that box.
I think people should be able to have that option, absolutely, if they wanted to. I can never agree with legal discriminations, but I just think that it creates a space where it's expected that, you know, when we talked to Boris Dietrich about it, about Ireland, where we looked at most of the countries that have brought in marriage equality are countries that overwhelmingly have Catholic populations. When they've brought in marriage equality, like Canada and Amsterdam, where they've brought it in and yet suicide rates are up, discrimination on the ground is up, because people say marriage equality, you've got everything you want. What else can you possibly need?
A little less straight than other radio stations. Joy 94.9.
This is Elko, listening in from the Netherlands on Worldwide Wave, the latest LGBT news and current affairs on joy.org.au.
Now, we were talking before about angry Americans, not angry birds, angry Americans.
We were. We talked a bit about the...
where are these Americans?
Oh, no, I wasn't talking about you there, Lana.
We talked about the various Republican presidential candidates who are all vying to see who can be the last clown in the car. But there are some angry Americans that have taken to Twitter. So, basically, there's a whole bunch of really quite funny tweets about Americans who've decided they want to move to Australia because we don't have same-sex marriage. So, for example, from Cody, I'm moving to Australia, Americans going under, and I'm a hop off the boat. Can't wait till I can finally move.
Well,
I
hope she love people that come on boats.
Yeah. She's going to have a shock if she tries to come on a boat.
Shelby's I'm out moving to Australia or something.
Esky, moving to Australia, I ain't with this rainbow and gay pride shit.
Yes, that's it.
Lovely.
Let's say, I'm moving to Australia, can't deal with America's bullshit. I give up on this country, moving to Australia. Gays have rights in America now, moving to Australia.
I love the ones, the Americans, who thought, I've had enough of this, I'm threatening to move to Canada. Now, Canada had celebrating, same-sex marriage
celebrating
10 years
of same-sex marriage. Yeah. So, but as Australians aren't very happy about these declarations. So, you know, conservative Americans considering moving to Australia, this is from Daniel, might like to be aware of our extensive gun control and universal health care.
I think I'm going to buy rainbow stuff now just to try and keep them away.
Now, as much as we've enjoyed our insights and we're going into the US more next week, we do have some rather sad news to share with you, which is that we are losing a team member tonight, which is Lana.
Oh.
And Lana, we've got a cake for you.
We'll take a photo of it for our
Facebook
page.
We'll pop it onto Facebook. It has been wonderful having you with us here on the show and your insights and the interesting people that you brought us doing your interviews from around the world. So we will miss you, and we will miss you critiquing us and asking us silly questions like, what is Eurovision?
I hope you've got that now. We don't need to explain it
again.
We
have educated you now. You know, you're back in the gay club.
Working on it.
We'll send her the Eurovision CD.
All 50 songs. You'll love it.
Now, in honour of this being your last show, and you are a poet and you love it,
yes.
We have a clip here from a US slam poet, Andrea Gibson, and there's a bit of a language warning on this one. She's a queer poet and marriage equality activist, and this is part of her poem called I Do.
I do. But the f*** say we can't. Because you're a girl and I'm a girl, or at least something close to the most we can hope for is an unsilver union in Vermont. I want church bells. I want rosary beads. I want Jesus on his knees. I want to walk down the aisle and the patriarchy smile. That's not true. But I do want to spend my life with you. And I want to know 50 years from now, when you're in a hospital room getting ready to die, when visiting hours with family members only, I want to know they'll let me in to say goodbye. Because I've been 50 years memorizing the way the lines beneath your eyes form rivers when you cry, and have held my hand like an ocean at your cheek saying, baby, flow to me. Because 50 years I've watched you grow with me. 50 years of you never letting go of me through nightmares and dreams and everything in between. From the day I said, buy me a ring. Buy me a ring that will turn my finger green so I can imagine our love is a forest. I want to get lost in you. And I swear I grew like a wildflower every hour of the 50 years I was with you. And that's not to say we didn't have bad days. Like the day you said, that checkout clerk was so sweet. And I said, I'd like to eat that checkout clerk. And you said, honey, that's not funny. And I said, baby, maybe you could take a joke every now and then. So I slept on the couch that night. When morning came, you were laughing. Yeah, there were times we were both half in and half out the door, but I never needed more than the stars on your skin to lead me home for 50 years. You were my favorite poem. And I'd read you every night, knowing I might never understand every word, but that was okay. Because the lines of you were the closest thing to holy I had ever heard. You'd say, this kind of love has to be a verb. We are paint on a slick canvas. It's going to take a whole lot to stick, but if we do, we'll be a masterpiece. And we were. From the beginning, living in towns that frowned at our hand-holding, folding their stares like hate notes into our pockets so we'd pretend they weren't there. You said fear was only a verb if you let it be. Don't you dare let go of my hand.
Joy 94.9, Australia's best radio station.
This is Autumn Butter from LGBT Centre of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on Worldwide Wave.
And we've had a great time looking at the US. We've got more on the US next week when we're speaking with long-running US activist Robin Tyler on same-sex marriage, her years of fighting for the LGBT community. She's actually the first gay comedian on US television.
Ooh.
It's going to be fascinating. A big thank you to Rodney Croon, the National Director and a tireless champion for Australian marriage equality. That website to go to look at Where Your MP Stands, just Google Where Your MP Stands or go to AustralianMarriageEquality.org and shoot out an email and get active.
I want to thank everyone who's had messages on Facebook. We've had Suzanne, Hope, Mohammed, Kay, Liz, Angus, John, and a heap more who've joined or interacted with us on Facebook this past week.
And a big thank you to lovely Gordon at the front desk as well.
Thank you, Gordon.
And we're saying a final farewell to Lana. Lana, what's your lasting memory? What are you taking away from our little show?
Besides working with some awesome fellows, I really loved the Kazakhstan interview that I did with the advertising agency that got who went to court because of the gay propaganda laws.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. They got fined for that poster showing, was it Lenin and Stalin kissing?
Lenin and Stalin kissing,
No, it was two cultural artists.
Two artists.
Oh. You can listen to that on our website, joy.org.au/worldwide.
Podcast galore.
We'll be back next week with more on the US Supreme Court decision and insight from there.
Do you want to know what I'll be doing next Tuesday?
What are you doing next Tuesday?
I'll be swimming because I've joined the Glamourhead Sharks.
Ooh.
More glamour.
More glamour. Can never have enough. We'll catch you next week on the Worldwide Wave.
Thank you for listening to the Worldwide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.